me encourage you to grab a Bible and open to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there are some on the back table there that you're welcome to use. We are closing in on the end of our series on loving God and loving people. And this series has been focused primarily around Jesus' answer to the lawyer's question in Matthew 22. When he's asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we spent a few weeks talking about love, about loving God and how we love God in response to the love that he has shown us. So we love because he has first loved us. And we talked about how rightly loving God demands that we love others, not just those whom God has saved, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but all people who are made in the image of God. And we have been spending the last couple of weeks looking at partial definitions of what this love is to look like, in a sense, putting some meat on the bone when we say that we are to love God and love each other. We talked about how true love demands service. Love serves. We talked about the reality that we as believers cannot be constantly only thinking of ourselves, but instead desiring to use what God has given us for the betterment of the church, for his glory, and as an expression of our love to him and to each other, that we are each to be actively serving in the church. We talked about how love submits. Now, inside of the church, there should be a special unity because of the willingness of the people of God to submit to the sovereignty of God and the leadership of the church. We talked about how love commits. It's hard to say that you have love for your brothers and sisters around you in the church when you will not commit to be with them. You will not commit to serve and to worship with them. You will not commit to joining in fellowship and covenant together with them to proclaim the goodness of God and to express his goodness to each other and to the world. This morning we're going to look at another fact of love, that love speaks. Now, I understand that sometimes this can be a difficult issue. I know that all of us have been hurt by words. It does not take a bullet or a sword to pierce our hearts. The rightly or wrongly placed word will do just fine. And I know all of us have been hurt. All of us have had someone criticize the way we looked or what we did or something that we said or something that we tried to do, and we were cut deeply. And we in the church have a responsibility and love to be hard to offend, to be willing to forgive quickly and offer grace. But we also need to be each willingly seeking to love with our words, to speak the truth in love, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I ask that you would give us great wisdom this morning as we look into your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to take to heart our responsibility to use our words as instruments of your grace. That we would be thoughtful about what we say and what we won't say. That we would be thoughtful about not encouraging gossip and malicious talk, but instead that we would demand holiness of your people by refusing to be a party to any dishonorable talk, but instead that we would seek with our words to lift others up to you, to point others to Christ, to love them fully and rightly by encouraging them with the truth of your love. God, give us great wisdom and discipline as we do so. In Christ's name, amen. In Ephesians 4, and we're going to skip over some of the context a little bit, but I want you to look at Ephesians 4, verse 29. Go one more. Now, here in this section, we have this beautiful command, and it really begins in verse 17 of chapter 4, where it says, "So I tell you and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." And the Apostle Paul here is speaking of this reality that you can't say I'm saved and yet live like everybody else. There's a great picture of this when Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. He has a wonderful line where Lazarus is raised. He comes out. Everybody's doing whatever they would do, freaking out in some way, shape, or form. And Jesus says, "Take the grave clothes off him." He's wrapped in these cloths, and he's wearing appropriate garb for being dead. But now he's alive. Those clothes are no longer appropriate for him. And the Apostle Paul here is making the same basic argument in the reality when he says, in chapter 4, verse 22, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The picture there, it really draws of taking clothes off and putting clothes on. After Lazarus was raised from the dead, it was inappropriate for him to be in grave clothes. It did not fit the reality of what was going on. And oftentimes when we come to Christ, we still have a tendency of walking and talking and thinking and dressing like the world. But we have put off those things. We are to daily be throwing them off of our shoulders and constantly be putting on characters of God. Love, peace, patience, and gentleness, and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit as we seek to honor the Lord. And part of how we do this is in the way that we speak. In verse 29, the Apostle Paul deals with our talk. And he does something that helps us a little bit. He gives us a negative, a positive, and then a reason. In other words, he tells us what not to do, then he tells us what to do, and then he tells us why. Look at verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So he first begins by telling us what not to do. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Notice the first few words. Do not let. And we cannot miss the assumption here, which is that we, all those who are in Christ, who have believed in Christ, do not have to be controlled by our words. Make no mistake that whenever it comes to what we say or don't say, we cannot ever claim to have an excuse. We cannot, for those who are in Christ, say, "The devil made me do it." We cannot say, "I just couldn't help myself." Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." In Christ, we have been reborn. We now have the power to control our tongues. And so because of this, and because of our love for God the Father, our goal should always be to never again allow any unwholesome talk to come out of our mouths. Because understand that when it does, it is because we let it out. We willingly allowed our words, our mouths, to stab someone in the heart. We were not made to do it. We let it out. And the Apostle Paul calls for all believers to not let that happen again. The word translated unwholesome literally means rotten. I love the word picture here, and Jesus helps us understand it in Matthew chapter 7. In verses 17 through 18, Jesus uses his word repeatedly, and he says, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad, literally a rotten tree, bears rotten fruit. A good tree cannot bear rotten fruit, and a rotten tree cannot bear good fruit. So when Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, he is speaking of rotten words. Words that like rotten fruit, do not produce anything of value. They are not healthy for the next person to ingest. I don't know why, but I think of Snow White. I think of the witch or bad person, whatever it was, with the apple. Here, it's going to taste good. It's going to be healthy for you. It's going to help you. And all it was poison. When we speak words that are rotten to others, even if we do so with good intentions, we are only feeding them rotten fruit, poison apples that hurt their body and their mind and their soul. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, I want to read to you verses 33 through 36. And I want to remind you that this rotten fruit or worthless speech is very important from the Apostle Paul's perspective, and we can see why here in Matthew 12. And it should be really important for us as well because of how our words are directly tied in Scripture to our hearts. Look at verses 33, and I'm going to just start with verses 33 through 35. It says, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Notice that the fruit is determined by the kind of tree, not the other way around. An apple tree will bear apples. So if we are slaves to sin, then that is who we are. And as slaves to sin, because of that being the reality of who we are, that is the type of fruit that our lives and our lips will produce. But if by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we confess our sins, then we are reborn. We are free in Christ. We are His. And in light of this, the fruit of our lives and the fruit of our lips must mirror that reality. And then there is a warning given in verse 36 that all of us need to hear. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Notice that this warning of judgment, which is something very serious, is given to everyone, both the believer and the non-believer. Each will be held to account. And not just for the hate-filled words, the words of explicit dislike or envy or hatred. And I know all of us have felt those words where someone has gone to us specifically with the intent of using their words to harm us. But other times we get hurt from just careless words where the intent may not have been to harm us, but harm it did. This is for every empty word. Every word that doesn't honor the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Is what you say something that you can praise God the Father for? Is every word that you say, is it done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to His glory and His honor? When a person is saved through the grace of God, the study of the word, prayer, and the fellowship of the family of God, our language should show in greater and greater degrees as we grow who we are in Christ. It should show that our heart has been made new. And it should erupt with the good that God has worked inside of us. And if it doesn't, we need be warned. Because of our love for God and our love for each other, what we say should mirror who we are. But let's get back to our text in verse 39 with what we are not to do. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, the term unwholesome or rotten includes really a variety of speech. The term includes the misuse of the name of God, the use of profanity, and especially considering the rest of this verse, speech that puts others down, that mocks, that belittles, or in some way inhibits others' belief, trust, or obedience to God. The picture here is of words that harm instead of strengthening. Again, the apple from Snow White. What are you producing and constantly handing out to people? Is it something that strengthens them, or is it something that is constantly eating away at them? Is hindering them? What we say matters. Not only to the person we are speaking to, whom we are supposed to love, but also to their Creator as well, and not to mention their Heavenly Father. For those who have been recreated by God, if we have been made clean by Christ, then our words and our way of speaking should show it. For according to Jesus in Matthew 12, our words will either confirm our salvation or confirm our appropriate damnation. This is not a light and trivial matter. What are you known for saying? What kind of words are you known for using? Now, let me draw in a little caveat here before we move on to the next section. For those who love the Lord, we must, in increasing measure, as we mature in the faith, speak only things that glorify our Lord, our Savior, and our love. So this verse tells us that we should not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but we need to make sure that we remember that saying the truth in love is not unwholesome, even if it hurts. Telling someone that they are in sin and even possibly going to hell may not make them feel good, but it is still loving. It is not loving to ignore the truth of God's word and let someone run headlong into the wrath of God. It is never loving to ignore sin. To be silent is to hate. For us to ignore sin cannot be a claim that we love and that we long for the best for the other person. How can we claim to love and not desire that they would have God's best? And the best for each other is always walking faithfully with our Lord and our Savior and our love. We must always speak the truth and do so in love, but just because it may hurt doesn't mean it's wrong. The question is, which direction are your words pushing or pulling someone? Is it towards Christ or not? Is it done in love of Christ and the other person or not? That's the real determining factor here, not whether or not it hurts. For as Christ often did when he presented the gospel to others, sometimes you got to hurt people to help them. You have to tell people that they need a Savior, which no one likes to hear. That they need saving, that they are sinners, and apart from Christ, they will go to hell. No one likes to hear that. I didn't. It hurt. It pricked my pride. But yet it was given to me in love, and so that I would have greater joy. You see, simply because a word hurts you doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. We are to challenge in sin. We are to speak the truth of God's word in love. But we are to do so always to build others up in Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves, what is the motivation of our action? What is the motivation of why we spoke what we spoke? We cannot always determine whether or not it was good or bad to say simply by whether or not it hurt someone's feelings. Let's keep going. And I want to look at the second thing, what we should do. We're told what not to do. And here we're told what to do. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Notice that instead of using rotten words or unwholesome words, we are to only speak what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So unlike rotten words that if given to someone will only hurt them, our words are to be helpful. They are to be healthy words that build them up, that strengthen them in Christ. The reality is that all our words will either hurt others or they can, by God's grace, build others up. And let me be fair. I know we have a tendency as individuals, when we hear something like that, to place into the back of our mind or in the front of our mind the person who really needs to be hearing this. The last person who said something to us that hurt us. That's not where your mind should go. You are not ultimately responsible for them, but for yourself. Think first of your own words, of the plank that may be in your eye, before you consider the speck in another's. James writes of a sin that I think we often fall into. In James 3, 9 through 10, he says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." Our words should always have the effect of building up for the kingdom of God. Our words should build others up according to their needs. Now, this is important, all right? Because oftentimes we dictate what our needs are, right? We like to put up a list and determine what our needs may be. You know, today I'm feeling insecure because I got a haircut and I don't know if I like it, and so I need people to reaffirm that my hair looks good or that I'm not balding or that it's not growing gray. I need you to lie to me so that I feel better about myself. No. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about our own superficial needs that are about our love for self. We are talking about our needs in light of our love for God. The primary need of others is to be encouraged to believe, to be encouraged to trust in the goodness and faithfulness of God no matter what, to know the fullness of God's control and power, to know the fullness of our salvation in Christ. These are things that most often people truly need to hear. I know it's nice to have someone empathize with our pain, but maybe what we need to encourage people in is the Word of God, that God is faithful and that God will use our trials and our difficulties and all that we endure for His glory and for our good. Maybe we need to hear that perseverance needs to finish its work and we need to be faithful and we need to continue to endure. Maybe we need to be encouraged to think not on momentary things, but to think upon eternity. I think so often we have this tendency of just wanting to soothe everything and just try to make everybody feel good, but we need to love with our words with a love that is full of the gospel, full of the words of God, full of encouragement so that they can rest, not in our arms, but in the arms of Christ, knowing that His love is steady and faithful, knowing that his provision for them will always be enough, knowing that he sees them, that he will not leave them, that he will not abandon them, that he keeps all of his promises, that he is good. Many times we neglect to mention these vitally important things. We neglect to truly build others up in Christ. Let me ask, what is the worth of your words? Are they storing up wrath for yourself? Because you are constantly giving out to people rotten apples out of your mouth? Or because of love? Are they being used and given to others with the explicit purpose of building them up in Christ, of encouraging them to hold tightly to him and to trust in him? Friends, we should not speak foolishly. We should not speak just to be heard, but we should speak what is helpful for building up others. For that is a true expression of love. So we are told what not to do, and we are told what to do, and now really we get the why. Look at the verse again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The phrase that it may benefit, it's simply the word grace. In other words, as ambassadors of Christ, our words are to express and extend the grace of God to others. As one writer put it, we are to converse in such a way that our words become a vehicle and demonstration of the grace of God. Have you ever considered that? That God has given you the ability in Christ to be used by him as a vehicle and demonstration of his grace to others. Our ultimate goal in speaking should be to benefit others with the truth from God's word. I know oftentimes we speak foolishly. We speak for reasons that are not biblical. We speak to make ourselves feel better. We speak to be heard. We speak to feel important. We speak to feel validated. We speak to make others feel inferior. Friends, we should be described in a similar way to the way Job was described. In Job 4:4, it says, your words have supported those who stumbled, and you have strengthened faltering knees. Can that be said of you? Many love to speak a great deal, but we need to consider if our words contain more eternal value, more grace, than the silence that we break with them. We need to consider what we let out of our mouths. For we are to be letting flow out of our mouths God's grace, God's goodness, God's willingness to forgive, God's faithfulness in being compassionate and kind toward the brokenhearted, God's ability to see and hear, God's ability to save. Those who are wise in the Lord seek to benefit those with their words. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Those who are wise in the Lord explicitly seek with every word they let fly from their mouth, or with every word they post on their Facebook or their Twitter or their alligator or whatever next thing is going to come up, that it is used to build others up in Christ. That is the purpose of our words. That is to be the goal, the reason why we speak. And we will be held to account for every word that we let come dripping out of our mouths that is rotten and that does not encourage and help and strengthen those whom we say we love, but instead only hinders them. Do we speak just to be heard? Do we speak just to prop ourselves up and to make ourselves seem important? For our words are to be like good food. Good food to the soul of those who are listening, instead of rotten fruit that only injures the other. Let me encourage you to consider honestly. Quick little experiment. If I were to pay you $10 for every word you said that built others up in the Lord, and took $5 for every unwholesome word you spoke, after a day, after a week, after a month, after a year, would you be rich or poor? If I were to look at your Facebook account and go through the streams and look at how you have commented to other people, non-believers even, if I were to eavesdrop and listen in to your conversations with each other, if I were to be there when you're speaking with your spouse, when you're speaking to the telemarketer who calls at a very inopportune time, it's like they have cameras. They know when they don't. Would you be rich or poor? For the mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart. What do your words say about your heart? Do they first and foremost express a love of the Father? In light of the grace that He has shown you, do your words express grace to others? If what we say does not benefit others, that what we say has no true value. Our goal in speaking should be to proclaim the grace of God. And we should desire to do this, and we should do it because of our love for the Father and our love for each other. My friends, I think we often speak without thinking. We speak a great deal without considering who we are and who we aren't. We never take the time to consider what damage or what benefit our words have done today, this week, this month, this year. As lovers of Christ and each other, this must not be said of us. That we were known as letting rotten apples constantly flow out of our mouths. That we were known as those who would cause people who are weak in the faith to be weaker. That we were known for seeking to superficially build people up instead of seeking to offer them something of value, something healthy, something that will encourage their own soul in the goodness of our Savior. We should faithfully evaluate the worth of our words. We should make sure that we don't speak rotten words, but instead, because of love, that we speak words that uplift and build others up towards Jesus Christ. We should pray as the psalmist did in Psalm 141, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." As a child of God, our goal is to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind and all our strength. And to do this properly, we must be watchful of every word that comes out of our mouths. We must love with words. We must speak in love to the lost, sharing the gospel with them always. And we must speak lovingly to each other, always seeking to use every word for the glory of God by using our words to build others up in the faith. It's a logical contradiction to be a Christian gossip. It's a logical contradiction to be a Christian who is known for scarring people with your words. Friends, this should not be, this cannot be of us. For how greatly have we been loved? How much in Christ, how much grace have we received? And in light of that, how then should we talk? How then should we speak of our God? And how should we speak of each other? True love of God and love of neighbor is a love that speaks, that always guards its mouth, that never allows, never lets unwholesome talk come from it, but instead is always seeking to build others up with their words for their own benefit because of our love. Friends, true love speaks, which demands that you get to know each other. It demands that you not sneak out as soon as the service is over. It demands that you seek to find people on Sunday and throughout the week that you can use your mouth to express God's grace to others by knowing their needs, knowing where they may be tempted this week, knowing where their trials may be coming from, knowing their pains and their hurts and their discouragements and their doubts, and seeking to point them back to the Word of God and the goodness of the Father with every word we speak. True love speaks. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for your word and the beauty of it. I ask that you would give us great discipline, that you would give us great willingness to evaluate our own words, that you would give us the need that we have to put a guard over our mouths. Father, it is so easy to speak because we feel wronged at times, and because we feel entitled at times, or because we feel like we're just right, and so it doesn't matter what we say or how we say it. God, help us to remember that we are called not to be our own, but to be yours. That we have been redeemed by the price of your Son. And so we are not our own. And so we must honor you with our lips, honor you with the words that we speak. God, I thank you for the opportunity for us and for our words to express your grace. God, give us a great heart, a great desire to love you faithfully with what we say, and to love others well by showing and speaking grace, speaking healthy words that build others up. God, we thank you for the goodness of who you are, for your faithfulness to forgive us when we go awry, and for your provision to help us to grow. God, give us great patience with each other and a great love in light of the love that we have in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.